Well, Brother Rain, what a week this has been. For one thing, it has been a very humbling week for me. I've watched these guys with these bright coats and ties on. I feel like a tramp, you know. And then I have watched them jump up on this platform and Brother Chad kneeling and getting up. I feel like a citizen in a nursing home, you know. And then I've heard these preachers preach with such insight and such understanding and such knowledge that I feel like a first grader in Bible school. But having said all of that, I surely am glad that I'm in this conference. God has done a work in my life. I want you to know that. It has been a marvelous, marvelous week for me personally. The preaching, the praying, the singing, the eating, the fellowship, the hospitality you've shown me, your encouragement has been absolutely amazing, and I am so thankful. I may have come here Sunday morning limping in my body, but I leave this place leaping in my soul. I'll tell you what, God has done a work in my life for which I'm grateful. I needed this time together. Brother Wayne, thank you a million times for letting me be a part of this conference. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your encouraging words. Thank you for the prayers for my wife. Oh, so many of you have told me I'm praying for you and her, and thank you so very, very much for that. She's had a good week this week, and so we're grateful. She's with her two sisters, and they're taking good care of her, and I'm grateful for that. Glad to have my son, David, with us again this morning. And then not my partner in ministry for over 15 years, Andy Fowler, First Baptist Bremen. I feel like Andy, like you do toward Brother David. What a great partner he's been. I love him to death. And Andy, thank you for coming, brother. You blessed me by being here today. I want to speak on the subject this morning, the name above every name. The name above every name. In Luke chapter 1, and then I'm turning to Philippians chapter 2. In Luke chapter 1, and verses number 30 and 31, the angel said unto Mary, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Shall call his name Jesus. And then in Philippians chapter 2, what a wonderful passage that is. Verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The name above every name. Bow with me, please, for a moment of prayer. Father, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for what you've done in my life through this ministry of this church this week. And I give you praise and glory and honor. And now we come to open your word and to preach your word. I ask you, Lord, to please think through my mind and speak through my lips so you show yourself strong in our weakness And would you get glory through this message today, and we shall be grateful. For we ask our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. He is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the Rock of Ages. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World. The prophet Isaiah called him Emmanuel, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the door. He is the true vine. He is the faithful shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is called Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He is our Savior. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, the resurrection, the life. He is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the angel said, you will call his name Jesus. And the apostle said, that is the name that is above every name. So for the next few moments, I want to talk about that, and there are three simple things I want to say. Number one, the name was chosen by God. Number two, the name is cherished by many. And number three, the name will be confessed by all. First of all, that name is chosen by God. Many of us parents struggle over what to name our children. And rightfully so, because it is said that sometimes a child's name will affect his behavior. No thoughtful mother would ever name her daughter Jezebel after the infamous wife of King Ahab. And no thoughtful father would ever name his son Judas after the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we name our children after relatives, or after a friend, or after someone who has been special to our lives. My father named me after his pastor. His pastor's name was Herman Solly. I've never been fond of the name Herman. I'll just be honest with you, I have not. I've been called Herman the Mouse, Herman the Turtle, and Herman the Monster. I don't really like the name Herman. But I surely am glad that Daddy chose Herman than Solly. I mean, Solly Parker, Brother Wayne, just doesn't get it. I mean, and I know what would have happened. Some smart aleck would have called me Sally Parker, and then I'd have had to fight on my hand. So I struggled with my name through the years. We named our boys after Bible characters. David, Stephen, Timothy. We thought it might keep them out of trouble. I want to tell you, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. But nonetheless, we named them that. But Mary had no choice in naming her firstborn child. And there are two things I want to say about that. Number one, notice the revelation to Mary. She was living in Nazareth as a young lady, minding her own business, when the angel interrupted her life and said, you are blessed and highly favored among women. You're going to conceive and have a son. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mary said, but how can that be, because I'm a virgin? And the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. Aren't you glad? Nothing is impossible. In that conversation, the angel said, you will call his name Jesus. Well, Jesus was a common name in Galilee. There must have been many boys named Jesus. It would be like a Jim or a Bob or a Bill or a John in our culture, a common name. But God delights in taking that which is common and making it uncommon. Mary was a common girl, but God made her uncommon as the mother of our Lord. Bethlehem was a common town, but it became uncommon as the birthplace of Jesus. Shepherds were common shepherds that became uncommon as the first ones to share the news a Savior had been born. Common fishermen became uncommon when they were called to be the disciples of our Lord. Calvary was a common hill until our Lord laid his life down as a sacrifice for our sins, and that hill became uncommon. The first day of the week was a common day until on that day our Lord came out of the grave and made that day uncommon. And the common name of Jesus became uncommon when it was given to the Son of God, our precious Savior. A common name, but also a prophetic name. You understand that Jesus is the New Testament name of Joshua in the Old Testament, which means Jehovah is salvation, or God saves. So when you speak the name of Jesus, you speak Jesus' salvation. What a wonderful, precious name that is. The revelation to Mary. But notice the confirmation to Joseph. What the angel revealed to Mary, he confirmed to Joseph. I've always had a lot of respect for Joseph, who was engaged to be married to Mary. When she broke the news to him, "I'm going to have a son," it must have been devastating. I'm sure she tried to tell him, "I haven't been unfaithful to you, Joseph. I haven't been immoral. The conception has been a miracle of God. But how do you believe that, really?" What would Joseph do? If she had been unfaithful and immoral, the law said she could be stoned to death. At the least, she should be publicly shamed and humiliated. But Joseph loved her too much for that. And so he said, "I'll just simply break the engagement privately." But while he pondered on those things, the angel appeared to him. "Don't be afraid to marry Mary. She's telling you the truth. The son she's going to bear is a miracle of God. And by the way, Joseph, you will name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." The common name and the prophetic name revealed. The revelation to Mary and the confirmation to Joseph. The name was chosen by God. But the name Jesus is cherished by many. When I was a boy, we used to sing, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. There is no name that's more cherished and more precious and more honored than the name Jesus." There's some reasons why, you know. First of all, in the name of Jesus, there is salvation. In Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter was explaining to the council how the crippled man had received the miracle of healing. And he said, "He stands before you whole in the name of Jesus." And then he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved." In the name of Jesus, there is salvation. That means he is an able Savior. He is able to save. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we read, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. And that uttermost means completely. He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him. I don't know what that does to you, but that thrills my soul. Knowing that I am saved completely, it means I am saved from the penalty of my sin. Romans 8:1 says, There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And there never will be any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you ever struggle on the eternality of your salvation, just read through the 8th chapter of Romans for a while. And toward the end of that chapter, you'll read things like this. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, if God's on our side, the battle's over. We are winners to be sure. The second question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. I'm telling you, if you've been justified by God, you're justified forever. You've been forgiven forever. The third question, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died for our sins. And if he died for our sins, he paid the penalty of our sin. Who can condemn us? A fourth question, who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Then Paul said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, we are saved from the penalty of our sin. But our salvation also says something else. We are saved from the power of our sin. In Galatians 2:20, the apostle wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, I live, not I, notice, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you hear what he said? Christ in me. Christ in me. And if Christ is in me, that means that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And that means, as Romans chapter 6 teaches us, that sin has no more dominion over me. There's a new king in my life, and his name is Jesus. And it means I don't have to sin. I do sin, but I don't have to. I choose to sin. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power because He is able to save. He is also able to save from the presence of sin. When I read Revelation 21, I get pretty happy because the older I get, I understand what that means, because there'll be no suffering in heaven. There'll be no sickness in heaven. There'll be no Alzheimer's in heaven. There will be no sorrow in heaven. There'll be no separation in heaven. You know why? Because there'll be no sin in heaven. Brother Wine, I'm tired of sin. I'll tell you what, I'm just tired of sin. I'm tired of sin in the world. I'm tired of sin in our nation. I'm tired of sin in the church. I'm tired of sin in my own life, oh God, for the day when I will be done with sin. Our God is the able Savior, saving us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, and one day, thank God, from the presence of sin. I cherish His name, don't you? There's a second reason. There is healing in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting in the temple. They came by the gate, beautiful, and there stood a crippled man, begging. No doubt he had been there before, and they perhaps had seen him before, but they'd overlooked that. But this day they couldn't. They stopped. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they stopped. And And the man said, give me something. Give me some silver and gold. Give me some money. And Peter stood up and said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he reached out and picked him up, and he began to walk and leap and join them in the prayer service in the temple. Ah, in the name of Jesus, there is healing. Through my ministry, I've been often asked this question. What is your opinion of the healers that come around every so often? And many of them getting pretty rich over the suffering of human beings. My response is, I only know one healer. And his name is not Minnie, I'm sorry. His name is not Jimmy, his name is not Richard, his name is not Kenneth, his name is Jesus. He's the healer. And I want to tell you, if Jesus doesn't heal you, forget the language, but you ain't going to get healed. You're just not. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There is authority in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in his name. There is healing in his name. There's authority in his name. In Luke chapter 10, the disciples came back, 70 of them, and said, Jesus, even the demons were subject to us through your name. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and there was a demon-possessed young lady who was following them around and causing much distraction. And so Paul just stopped and said to the demon inside of her, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And she came out. There is authority in the name of Jesus. Hey, that's why we pray in his name. That's why we preach about his name. And Brother Dave, that's why we sing praises to his name. That's why we sing Jesus, 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 precious Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing everywhere I go. That is the name of Jesus. It's a precious name, a name that is cherished. Because there's salvation, there's healing, there's authority. Don't you love the name of Jesus? Oh, just to speak that name, Jesus, in my most depressing hour, when I think about Jesus, I'm encouraged, aren't you? When I face the hardships of life, when I face things I don't understand, I whisper the name Jesus, and there's a calmness that comes over my soul. Thank the Lord for Jesus. The name was chosen by God. It is cherished by many. It will be confessed by all. Our text says, God has given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee, underline that, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everything in heaven, every creature in heaven will say Jesus is Lord. The seraphims of Isaiah chapter 6 that said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, will say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. The 24 elders of Revelation chapter 4 will cast their crowns at his feet and say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And that great choir in Revelation chapter 5 that could be numbered, that was singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All again we say, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every creature in heaven will confess him as Lord. Not only that, every creature on earth, every creature, every person who's ever lived on this planet will confess him as Lord, both righteous and unrighteous. The holy and the unholy, the godly and the ungodly, the believer and the unbeliever, the saved and the lost. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The righteous will get to confess him as Lord, but the unrighteous will have to confess him as Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work, but I got a kind of a warped imagination. You know, you just have to understand that. But I picture something like this in heaven. Maybe Abraham would say something like this. I told my son that God would provide himself a sacrifice. Jesus, I didn't know your name then, but now I know you were that sacrifice, and I confess you as Lord. Maybe Moses, as I told the people, slay the Passover lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of the house and save the life of your firstborn. Jesus, I didn't know your name, but now I know that Passover lamb was a foreshadow of you who would come and pour out your blood that we would be saved from our sin. Ah, maybe Isaiah the prophet would say, I wrote about the suffering servant. I said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. And with his stripes we were healed, because all of us have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I didn't know your name then, but I knew the suffering, and I know it now. The name is Jesus, and you're Lord, you're Lord. Maybe old King David would say, I wrote about you, about the time when your enemies would come your footstool. I didn't know your name then, but I know it now. That name is Jesus. And maybe the Apostle Peter would stand up and he said, you know, I denied you on the night of your arrest, but I got it right on the day of Pentecost, because I stood and told those folks that crucified you that God has raised you from the dead and made you both Lord and Christ, and you are Lord, Jesus, you are Lord. Maybe old Thomas would come up and say, Jesus, you know, I didn't believe you had raised from the dead. When my brothers told me they'd seen you, I didn't believe them. But he said, when I saw you, I fell before you and said, my God and my Lord, Jesus, you are Lord. And maybe old Paul would say, you know, I made it hate your name. I tried to put to death those who loved your name. But oh, you transform a life on the road to Damascus. And now I can say that he is not only Lord of the dead and Lord of the living, he is Lord of our. Jesus, you are Lord. Here's the blessing of all. One of these days, this old unworthy sinner saved by the wonderful grace of God will bow at his precious feet and say, Lord, Lord, you, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. The righteous will get to confess him as Lord. But the unrighteous will have to confess him as Lord. Now, they can't be saved, but they'll have to confess him as Lord. I mean, there are no exceptions. Every king, every ruler, every monarch, every president, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every vicious person, every vile person, every evil person will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Pharaoh asked, well, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh will be on his knee. Jesus, you are Lord. And indeed, old Jezebel, I tell you, I want to see that. Old Jezebel, I'll tell you what had no regard for the life of an innocent man, but had him killed so she could gain the vineyard for her husband and threatened the life of the prophet Elijah. But old Jezebel would bow her knees and say, Jesus, you are Lord. Herod said, I'll wipe him out as a baby. And he made a decree that all the children, 2 years old and all the male children, would be put to death in Bethlehem. But old Herod would have to bow the knee and say, Jesus, you are Lord. Hitler, who tried to exterminate the Jewish race, having 6 million of them put to death, will have to bow the knee and say, Jesus, you are Lord. And I'm telling you, old Vladimir Putin, he'll have to confess Jesus, Lord. I mean, every evil man will confess him as Lord. The issue is, not will you confess him as Lord. The issue is, when will you confess him as Lord? But confess him you will. But oh, it's not through yet. Every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, I like this, every knee under the earth will bow and say, Jesus, your Lord. Every fallen angel, yes. Every evil spirit, every demon, the beast, the false prophet, or the old dragon himself. Thank God. I want to see that. The old dragon himself will bow the knee. I tried to exalt myself above heaven, but I want to confess you as Lord. You can't be saved, that devil, but you have to confess him as Lord. Well, why wouldn't we? He's the only one I know who deserves to be Lord, is he not? He alone stepped out of heaven and came to this earth, did he not? He alone was born of a virgin. He alone lived a sinless life. He alone fed the hungry. He alone calmed the storm. He alone healed the sick. He alone opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears of the deaf and gave speech to the mute. He alone cleansed the leper. He alone fed the multitude. He alone laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. He alone rose up from the grave by his own power. He alone ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And he alone is coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords. The name that's above every name. His name is Jesus. I'd like to practice that. I just do. I'd like to practice. I want you to help me. Would you do that? Help me practice it. I want to say, Jesus is my Lord. Will anybody on this side, right on this side, just down the front, will anybody dare up and boldly, unashamedly stand up and say, Jesus is Lord? Would you just do that?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Like that. What about in the middle section? Anybody want to do that? Would you say, Jesus is Lord? Oh, in the back, would you just stand and say, Jesus is Lord? What about Jesus is Lord in the front, Danny? Would you do that? What about the middle section? Anybody? Anybody in the back? Listen, I'm about to get happy. I'm telling you what. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He is Lord.